neither applies in the script of the protection of IP. Now, if you'd allow me, I would like to ask, I think what we're leading to is, if we're going to go to the committee tomorrow and say, we have certain issues with a lot of the statements in the response from the DCI, and we'd like to interrogate those with the DCI. I think we're going there. But I think if we could allow Charmaine, as a founder member, to actually go through some of the issues that she may have picked up, perhaps this will guide us in asking questions tomorrow of the DCI. Is that successful? I think we should just hear from her, because they have responded directly to a number of the issues that she raised. The two most important ones, in my view, are the question of constitutionality, which she raised quite strongly in a recent argument. And the second one that's of great importance is the question of definition. And they have made some concessions there, and those definitions need to be improved in the final bill. I mean, there's a number of other issues which I've marked here, which to me are issues that we could deal with on an ad hoc basis. Those are pretty broad, big issues that I think we don't need to catch up. Also, to be generous, then, it is my view that we should try not to discuss it myself. And the reason I say that is, let's look at the substance first before we see. I think, to be generous, it's just becoming this thing. It's like a big bubble that's hanging over it. Are we going to go through generous or aren't we? And in fact, what we need to do is understand exactly what we're trying to say in the legislation and how we can do it without actually labeling the approach one or the other or a hybrid. So that might be controversial, but if you'll allow me from the chair to ask Charmaine to try and highlight some of the issues that she might have picked up during the course of her reading of the responses from the DCI. And we can see if we've got a major fight on our hands tomorrow. Otherwise, yes,
I agree with that.
Some accommodation in between the redraft and the Okay. and get cool.
Yeah.
So that to me is quite different. It gets a little bit more detail. This is very, very great in the second time. But that plus the fact that now there's a trust that will administer the sun, that is more or less the things that have been changed. The rest was more just rewording things slightly. It's not, I couldn't see anything that really jumped out and said, oh, this is a big change, except for those two things. But if I look at the responses, the big issue that still concerns me is constitutionality. And the note that I've made on this is that I would really like to just see the state or advisor opinion and to know what cases they are referring to, because they mentioned the minerals and water and how the fact that there's now royalties and medicine being payable was not expropriation. And I'm arguing in a vacuum because I don't know the counter argument. It's simply stated this is how it is. I'm just concerned that water and minerals have always been something controlled by the state, whereas I see it's a private aspect. So, in fact, the Mineral Petroleum Resources Royalty Act of 2008, which I think is what they're referring to, has been amended since 2008 by taxation, which tells me this is a tax, which is a total different issue. The moment you impose a tax, that's not expropriation, that's a tax, plain and simple. And that is also where I think the comment came up is whether it's a money bill or not. And that is a big difference. It is not, because it doesn't impose a tax, it simply provides the vehicle for royalties to be paid. If it becomes that you say it's a tax and therefore it's not expropriation, then it becomes a money bill. So if you say no, it's not a tax, it is simply a royalty that will actually pay in the future, then you're still looking at expropriation or the possibility thereof, in respect at least of existing rights. So I think I almost concur. The document is quite vague. It is a very, they're almost preaching to the committee that this is how it is. Not explaining it. Really. So I suppose it would be good to be able to say, but just expand on what you mean here. So at this point, I'm not convinced of constitutionality. I might change my opinion once I've seen the opinion from the state board last year, because I might have looked at different aspects. And I would say, yes, I agree with salt. But just to compare it to water and minerals, for me, it's to compare different things. So we are getting another problem. On the definition, the definitions are definitely broader. But now I need to tell you that I am not a traditional IP expert. I'm not sure that
I think you have made that point, and we've asked for your opinion here with that knowledge, but that you come from the Parliament side,
yes.
With an understanding of how the rules fit together, A, and B, the constitutional prerequisites very much foremost in the mind.
Yeah. What I meant was is that the definition I can see is broader, and to my eyes it's good, but we might need that. I think we might need to have, for instance, indigenous communities,
yeah.
Can be clause one.
Yeah.
I know there were a lot of comments about how it should be worded, etc. It looks good to my eyes. It is definitely broader, but the person who commented on this definition might say no, because they have a knowledge of how traditional communities work. So I just don't want to say, yeah, the definition is very good, and then someone say, no, but it doesn't cover this or it doesn't cover that. So there's a couple of the definitions that they looked at. It's trust. Now, the trust, I think, is just stepping up as the trust. So that definition for me is, I don't think that would be contentious. But your definitions of indigenous community, traditional intellectual property, traditional work. We have what clause one is to new definition. I haven't compared the definition. That I might have
yet. Yeah, but there's a definition condition community in clause one and then clause five.
Yeah. And just quickly looking at them, they don't
because we have innings four.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
The provincial houses of traditional leaders act say clearly
provinces could not adopt this legislation. So usually for timing purposes, what maps they take this, could the province adopt it? If the province can't adopt it, then it's a Section 75. But where I'm concerned is that even though maybe a Section 75, this may need to serve before we have the constitutional here.
If you look on page 9, clause 16 would go a little bit comic. They start talking there about the traditional leaders, and they make a concession that traditional leaders should be represented on the National Council. Specifically, the existing traditional council will be recognized in the bill in order to promote effectively the effects of efficiency and the protection of ICANN. Also, they concede the traditional leaders must play an active role in that identification process.
But the fifth definition in the National House of Traditional Leadership is that any legislation considered by the National Parliament affecting traditional communities or traditional culture should go for consultation to the House of Traditional Leaders before we pass. This is like an ELA requirement. And we're not bound to we're not going to read the Constitution. We're not bound to listen to what they do. We bound ourselves to listen to what
they do. Okay. I think that's a point that you will need to flag in the committee tomorrow, because I'm sure that in terms of how they have resolved the problem here, they will have a counter argument about that. Because that is a DCI thing, but we're still talking about the constitutional issue. Your argument is that it will need to go in terms of the constitutional, we need to go to the House of Traditional Leaders. Let's hear what they say about that.
Well, that's not the constitutional. It's a little bit of a mismatch. In terms of the interconstitutional requirement that exists, the final constitution doesn't save it. But the legislation adopted in terms of the interim constitution repeated the requirement.
You say it's a different tag then, as a result?
No, the tag is fine.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem, it's a mismatch, because usually what deals with traditional communities is the provincial competence.
Yeah.
Here, to me, the only case is could the province adopt this legislation? And the answer is no. I think we all agree.
Yeah.
The province couldn't deny this legislation. So the timing is fine. I think it's going to go to the traditional to the House, but the constitutional issue which has not been answered is it an expropriation?
Yeah.
It's a huge issue.
So on that, I wonder if you can just recap the money bill argument and the distinction between the two. I think it's critical and I think it's.
Yeah. We're making a bit heavy women here, but let's finish this round of discussion. Thanks.
We have looked at the issues of how traditional leaders. I have one something that I'm going to do, but I'm obviously saying that it do with doctor. However, we discussed this with Andre, who confirmed that the House of Traditional Leaders has been present when this bill has been discussed, I think, in the committee. And according to them, there was no problem for which you have to be submitted to them. So it was quite a grey area for me as well, because I wasn't sure, does this really fall under the kind of culture that they would want to live at? Because I would say that it might have been aspects of the culture that might be subject to IRP that could. So it's a grey, wasn't a clear cut. And the fact that the House of Traditional Leaders didn't feel this should come to them, kind of putting me at ease on that issue. So I think it's definitely important that they are involved, especially since the DTR comment is that they must be involved on the council. And one of my comments there was that they must need to be consulted before you can just approve them into that. On the Money Bill Act, what
are dealing with money, it feels money. But one thing they did is we looked at what the Constitution says, and it talks about your appropriations, that's not relevant yet. Then it talks about imposes a tax levy, etc. And we looked at the word impose, and that is where we found the difference. Because what you have here is that, and this actually comes up, the response supports it, although the bill doesn't yet support it. The response of the DCI is that a community will be able to receive royalties, and they can negotiate on these royalties. Now, the fact that there is this agreement for royalties to be paid, whether it's being paid to the community or to the fund, means it's not an imposition. So it is a mechanism making it possible, but it does not impose. And on that basis, and I actually want to say, can get away with this not being a money bill, because the problem, if this is a money bill, is that we are very stuck on what this bill can deal with. It's only allowed to deal with that. So you will almost have to remove that aspect from this bill.
Yeah. Does that answer your question? So this was a recap.
So the fact that the low tax levy is imposed means that it's not a money bill. And that raises that itself raises the question of expropriation.
Can I
maybe? Did you want to just finish your sentence, Charlie?
Sure.
How that ties into expropriation is that what I said was their argument was that water and minerals is a good example for what we're dealing with. But water, I'm not sure about water, I couldn't find water, but the minerals that I looked at was actually the imposition of the tax. And water and minerals have always been aspects that fell within, I don't want to use the word public domain, but public as opposed to private domain. So it falls within the state. So imposing a tax on that, that is not taking the rights away, that is putting something on top of. You retain your rights, but you need to pay a tax. Whereas intellectual property falls in the private sector domain. It is not something that the state takes the tax off and say if you do something you need to pay me or they'll be imposed. So but if it is a tax, you can get away with saying this is not expropriation because you retain all your rights, you must just pay a tax to the state. But this is not what we have. What we have here is someone is exercising a right, and it's not on every aspect that there will be expropriation. It's just that there will be or can be instances where someone is currently exercising the right, is able to sell that right, is able to seize that right, is able to receive royalties on that right. It might even be something that is registered, copyright is automatically registered. And now, the bill as it is currently structured seems to interfere with that right. And now you have to start paying a royalty, whether it's to the fund or to the community, that means that there is an interference with your right.
Let me put to you the money bill argument, which I understand it. And I know the argument again, and I understand it completely. Things are in the public domain. They are given in exclusive ownership to the state. In order for you to use them, not just the community, but anyone else, you need to pay something for the state. It's whenever you pay something to the state, it's related to a user tax. In order to use something, you need to pay to the state. It's not any different in nature from any other levy.
to the committee tomorrow. So what I'm really trying to get from Charmaine is some of the areas that she believes, and I guess that what I'm asking is for all the members to go back and read more thoroughly through these documents. But I'd like us to try and get some areas that we can flag tomorrow for discussion with the DCI. Hopefully in the presence of some experts who might contribute to this thing. But so far, we've got a couple of good things that have come out of the amendment, including the definition for trust to set up to manage the funds and so on. But we've got the big question around the constitutionality issue that we've all raised. We've got the additional question around traditional leaders. And what I'd like now is to come to any other major issues that people think that we could usefully ask Charmaine about, or that she can come up with, in order that we can start a discussion tomorrow. Remember, we're not going to finish a discussion tomorrow. We just want to deal with some of the issues to the extent that we can, Maureen.
There are two issues. The third one is the international obligation issue.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to present that issue because I have a general understanding. I mean, I heard that experts and their understanding is more profound. My shallow understanding tells me that it's in violation of the Bern Convention and the treaty because it extends as a measure to protection of nationals, which is not contemplated in the state of non-national. And that's the crack of the issue. I asked since the beginning of this process for a proper legal opinion which goes through this issue. We received submissions that I would be a proper legal opinion. This is not an answer, this is not the legal opinion. This is not how Parliament should legislate. It's a statement of consultation. That's all there is. So that's a major difficulty because then we don't understand the parameters of operability. Then the second big issue is the next one. Copyright protection of indigenous knowledge is not worthless. Again, this is very technical for me to rehash the argument. But as I understand it, is that the bill is inserted in the existing law without amending the requirements which are in those laws create legal contradictions which are not solvable. The typical example is that in spite of the amendments made, the requirement would remain that a piece of work must be original and must have an author. And this requirement carries into all the other provisions which would be applicable to indigenous work. Now, I don't know whether this is just a matter of adding a number of consequential amendments, and this is where the debate needs to take place. Those advising me, and ultimately working through the number of consequential amendments, those advising me that it can't be done. We cannot have a number of consequential amendments because we cannot say that the council is a dog. I mean, the entire thing is constructed within certain parameters we cannot put it on the table. Here, none of these is answered. The issues that are worked with are not the issues in which there is objection. Again, if that is correct, that is the argument which flows into and supports the call for a generous view, where you don't need to have the definition of
authorship. Who's going to ban that word?
Yeah, but it sounds like some strange sexual perversion.
Yeah,
some peculiar and people too generous.
Stand alone. We say stand alone.
It's solitary.
Yeah.
It's solitary. But again, it's technical. And I don't find that the answer. So the first issue is international, and the second one is the workability of this element within the both the copyright and the trademark law.
I have to say, I see that the copyright
established locally. And I told the guys several times, this means that every time you make a photocopy of the document, we were committing an assailant in Australia, and she will die with imprisonment.
When you make
a photocopy,
it's a copyright symbol.
Yeah, right.
I've never
yeah.
seen that before.
And I didn't know, I refuse to read any document in which there is a copyright.
Well, then you wouldn't have written this at all. But you say that was just an assignment. Maybe it's just a little application, like a signature. It doesn't mean copyright.
I fear that it might be more profound. I think that there is an sufficient understanding of copyright laws about.
I think it's that 4D, 4T, 4I. That's the like logo that's supposed to be. I don't know.
Yeah, but then it's a trademark.
Yeah, we're allowing me to confuse you all. Okay, Charmaine?
And they Yes, yes.
Right.
Okay.
And I say, let's look at the bill and see how we address that particular issue without going to that bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right, well, I think that's the point that we've raised. Charmaine, I don't know if you've got anything to add to that. Okay. So, perhaps we can ask you to raise that in the meeting tomorrow when we deal with it, say, to focus on that point about the Berne Convention. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know what the Berne Convention says. It deals with equal treatment of national and states in the Berne Convention, but I don't know, it's not coming through my head, the Berne Convention. What it deals with, what does it deal with? You know?
It deals from Mary, I think it's copyright. I think the problem that comes in is that, and if I understand it, your amendment bill provides a certain right that only national will be able to have because we conspire to national. And that is where the problem comes in, because we have signed the treaty saying that if an international or foreign person would want to do the same thing, they will be able to. The problem is that recognizing traditional IP is also globally recognized. So it would be good to get an opinion from someone who with DCI is also custodian of all our international agreements. So they do have experts. Even if it's your own expert, just tell us how these two are married. Because it seems to be a contravention, but there is a global obligation, and they need to be married. What's now achieved?
Yeah, what is important to note about the same convention is that it does not deal with traditional sexual progress. The universe has a little bit of freedom for the same convention.
Yeah.
There was no idea behind it that the intent to write this international traditional sexual progress. That's different. When the bill is traditional sexual progress. That was just, that is where I seem to think of it. Highlighted this international convention because its provisions are not removed. Yes, in principle, it's international protection, but the bill is to protect and commercialize traditional intellectual property.
And that's not covered in the bill.
The bill provision, people were not to deal with traditional intellectual property.
There are two aspects to the argument, Madam Chairman. The Berne Convention deals with copyright. It tells you what you can and cannot do with copyright. This is not something we cannot do with copyright, and that's how the argument goes from those who say that there is an international, a breach of international law, and those who say that there is a self-standing deal. Because we can achieve the same without calling it copyright, without taking it under copyright law, and achieving a different type of protection and distribution of benefits, which are the two elements. But the argument goes for a process that copyright, then doesn't fit. And again, the answer should say the other argument. Why? There is no international law on traditional knowledge. Why is working on it? And it's struggling with the very issue. And it's very hard for us to say how they're going to solve it. But they're not working within the Berne Convention. Most likely, we understand it. The WIPO approach is that the process will lead to another convention, which will create a different space under which indigenous knowledge will be protected. And that's what they told us. And that also reinforces the fact that under the Berne Convention and the treaties, that there is no space for this to happen. And I understand that, as I previously before, I need to excuse myself just for a few minutes to go and say some platitudes in the justice debate. And then I will come back, because I'm getting orders and taking
the liberation of matter. They are looking to us, and so the new convention then needs to include the Cape Town Convention, based on what we discovered here. But that was
definitely. Madam Chair, you are an expert in diplomacy. And you know how these things are fixed. Oh, we have a lot to learn from you. We look forward to you now. These are the throwaway lines. Let's not take them too seriously.
Yeah.
There's been lots of scratching on tape. We're giving off the full tape.
Okay. Moving on then. I think these are all issues that we still have queries about, which we need to take to the meeting tomorrow to interrogate properly the DTI on the way in which they respond to some of these questions and how they address it in their amendment. I think that I am in agreement that it gives us further ammunition to ask for experts so that we can hear the conversation between them. As we can't possibly, as members of Parliament from our respective backgrounds and communities, we can't possibly have this expert knowledge. So I think that's another reason why we should push for this. Are there any other issues? Yes, go ahead.
Any
other issues?
Just before this, on the question of the convention, I was trying to catch my breath.
Okay, I'm sorry.
When
that they're working with
because you're working with public funds, this money must either be used in favor or must go back to your community. It is very critical that Parliament is 100% in agreement with how this fund is to be constructed and operated. So it is very, very important that either the Act, or once amended, the Copyright Act clearly states this is how the fund operates, or regulations must be approved by Parliament. It gets to be one of those two choices. And they must give us a little bit more on it.
So that's another issue.
I've got two more. Again, I just expressed a lot of business support, so
yeah.
But just in general, the document detail given us doesn't fill me with text. The terminology is strange. Often it's not very grammatical. The omission, which my colleague talked about earlier as well, is also quite glaring. The use of they call it Constitution Act. It's not the kind of document that fills you with
faith.
But the use of it, I understand the Constitution Act, but it's very strange. The phrasing of how, not to use the written term, but how something might be a special kind of democracy, a special kind of law that's not within the domain of the UK. It's I don't want to use the word sloppy, but it's approaching sloppy the way it's presented. But I also think it refers to this one definition of traditional works and then doesn't clarify it, unless I'm codifying the preferred definition of traditional works.
Traditional work means literary work, artistic work, or musical work, which created by persons.
Sorry, I mean traditional performance.
Oh, traditional performance. Right. Okay, maybe not.
So,
but maybe that's it.
That's one of the questions it raises that it doesn't answer. The other one, which I don't think it raises, but I remember talking about at length in the public hearing, is clause 7. The fact that.
From
the book.
So
it's on page 6 of the book.
Yeah.
Right near the top, the third line from the top, which I appreciate and respect on, is it defines that copyright shall be considered a traditional work if the work is created within a period of 50 years preceding the date the law was passed. And the obvious question then is most traditional knowledge is actually ancient, certainly a lot older than 50 years. So in the current drafting, the way I understand it, this law wouldn't protect any traditional knowledge, because unless you can think of any that's less than 50 years old, no copyright. I don't think the department raises this in the document, I haven't published it. But to me, that's one of the more critical problems.
We just, if I'm not mistaken, we just touched on the 50-year thing, but I think it's in a different context. You had this additional 50 years from the end of which.
This aspect has come up, but in a different context of whether DTI is trying to protect the original IP or derivative.
Yeah.
Because if it's derivative, then the 50 years is still maximum. If it is original, then this 50 years, as well as the 10 years protection afterwards, or the 50 years depending on what after working, just does not make sense. So that question has been put to DTI. In their response, they indicate that original IP will then, in the state, if the owner is unknown, and because the state is almost forever, that will be forever. But that is not addressed in the bill at all. And then they talk about
the. Can you point us to that in the response?
Last evening to give it
one's full attention with all the possible ramifications of these two documents. But I do think that tomorrow we need to start with those explanations that I've summarized here. I'd also like to take to the meeting the question that many colleagues have raised about the experts and how important that is, maybe we could also raise some of the issues where we think progress has been delayed in terms of the definition, but we are going to raise the question that you raised. Is there an error there in those definitions and so on? But unless I actually, you see, we were asked to have this meeting early, so presumably we could finish early. It's 11 o'clock now. If there's nothing else that anybody wants to raise as a matter of urgency that we can deal with in tomorrow's meeting, I'd like to adjourn the meeting, get on with the processes that we've identified, and ask everybody to go through again the two documents that have been given to us late yesterday and raise any other matters that arise in addition to the one last question. Anybody?